All right. Well, this morning we're going to look at Psalm 127 as part of Father's Day, and I want to impart something to you from there. Let me perhaps say this to you today about Father's Day, and I'd like to get this sort of said right up front. This is a special day, and it is important that we honour fathers. It is something that God requires. He says, honour your parents, so we honour mother on Mother's Day and honour father on Father's Day. Mind you, we should be honouring them all year long, not just on those particular days. But I'm thankful that there are days set aside when we do that. We honour our father or honour our mother. That is a very, very key and important part of our life. I believe that when we do that, the blessing of God comes. The Bible says, honour your parents that your days may be long on the earth. In other words, there's goodness of life comes when you honour your parents. But it just could be today that you feel you can't honour your father. Perhaps he was a man who was not a good father, might have been cruel, might have been abusive, might have been a lot of things. And I do really sympathise with you. But I want to say this to you. In your heart, honour that person, because that's what God says. Don't honour what they did. Honour them as the people. And perhaps today, if you're estranged from your father for any reason, I just encourage you, why don't you send him a text and just say, Happy Father's Day, thinking of you. And leave it at that. You don't have to rave on about how much you love them, because that might be a strain for you. But I think it's important. It'll do something in you. Look, you might get no reply. You might get an unpleasant reply. But you're honouring. You can only be responsible for one side of a relationship. I was talking to a guy yesterday, and I'm just saying, well, you've got kids and grandkids. He doesn't come to church at all. And I hope Father's Day's a good one. He said, if I'm lucky, I'll get a text from my son, if I'm lucky. My daughter doesn't speak to me. My grandkids, they won't acknowledge me in any way. I thought, wow, that hurts. And so I'm just encouraging you. Can you hear my heart in that? My dad went through the Second World War, and there's no doubt that he was damaged by that. There were wounds in his life, and I don't mean physical wounds. There were wounds in his soul that never healed. And so when it came to fathering, he was good in many ways, but there's some areas he just wasn't capable of. But I'm not criticizing him for that. And I won't put him down for that. I'll honor him, even though he's deceased now. But I honor him for the father he sought to be, he tried to be. And so can I just say that this morning? Let's be speaking well of fathers. And if you're a father and you're estranged from your child, do something about it. And if you're a child estranged from your father, do something about it. Sending a text is one way to do that. It's just a simple start, but it might open a great door. There's one thing about life. Family is so important. So, so important. And you, as you get older, you realise that much, much more than you do while you're young. While you're young, you're distracted with so many things and raising kids and running a home and all that. But when you get past that, you realise, wow, family is so important. So can I say to you, don't let anything divide you with your parents. Love them, relate to them, keep the connection. Will you do that for me? I think that as Christians we should do that. Okay, let's move on. Psalm 127, and I'll be jumping between the New Living Translation and the New King James Version this morning, but I'll just read out of the New King James firstly. It was a song of ascents, and so the ascents were when they travelled up to Jerusalem, they would sing these songs as they went along. They had certain, I guess, steps that went with it. But it says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labour in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with the enemies in the gate, their enemies in the gate. We always use this psalm to refer to the building of a church. We say, unless the Lord builds the house, meaning builds the church, that they labour in vain who build it. Whether that's the pastor or the people as part of the church. But it means something much, much more than that. It actually refers to family. The word refers to a family relationship. And it says that God needs to do the building of the family for it to be strong and for it to endure. Often people believe that we can just do this in our own strength. Well, you probably can sometimes, but overall, without the hand of God upon it, you're not seeing the blessing that God intends. I always believe for the best. Why not get the best? If the salesman says to me, and we can add this to it and add this to it and it's free, I'm not going to say, oh, no thanks. No thanks. I don't like extras. I don't want the extras. You keep those. Don't know about you, but I say thank you. I'll take them. That's great. They're free. I'll have them. So I want to encourage fathers today with a word from the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 24, verse 3, it says, through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. And so, dads, I want to say to you this morning, without God, we can never be the father we need to be. I didn't grow up as a Christian per se. My dad wasn't a Christian. He didn't get saved till he was about 64 years of age, and I'm grateful he did get saved at that age, and he went on for the rest of his life involved in church. But the point being is that without God, you have a family, and it might be a good family. I have no complaints about the family I was in, but I'm saying it could have been better if God had been a part of our family, if we'd been a church-going family, if we'd been, you know, raised in that way. My parents did the best they could. I've told you that when I was a young child of maybe about 4 or 5, this was after the Second World War, they took me to a church in Narrabeen in Sydney, or between Collaroy and Narrabeen, and there I was sitting, and it's still in my mind all these years later, sitting on a little, you know, the old little benches they had for Sunday school, and I was given a photo which was supposed to be Jesus. And from that moment on, I never doubted the existence of Jesus or God, and I'm thankful for that. It sewed something into my life, just a little picture. And no doubt they told a story to go with it. So I was a God-fearer, but I was never a Christian growing up, and nor were my parents. They respected God, I think, in their own way, but we never said grace, we never prayed, we never did anything like that. But how much better it could have been if we'd been part of the kingdom of God. And so I'm saying, dads, we need the Lord, because through wisdom a house is built. And where does wisdom come from? It comes from the Lord. Okay, in the world today, men are not as respected, I believe, as they should be by society. Now, I know there are some men who have done evil, and they deserve condemnation, but I think that's probably a small percentage of the men who are trying hard in a world of opposition to things male. Dads, we can do it with God's help. We face satanic strategy. We face rejection by people, by family, by friends, by whatever, just by being a male. They say the most endangered species in Australia is the white male, whatever, and that's because people think that they are bad and they've done bad things. And we can't let that go. I think that we've got to stand up as Christians and say, look, I'm not ashamed of who I am. I will do the best I can in God with wisdom and grace from the Lord, but I'm not going to back off from that. And so, can I say, wives, speak well of your husband. Don't criticise him to the kids. Don't say, oh, your dad's hopeless at fixing something, or your dad's this, or your dad's something else, or he's always late, he's never home on time for dinner, rah, 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 rah. Don't do that. If you've got a problem with your husband, speak to him, but don't speak to your kids, because you're undermining respect in their sight for their dad, and they need to respect their dad. Okay, so dads, we can make it happen. In verse 1 it says, unless the Lord builds the house. The house, the word there literally means family. So building a family in God's way can be hard work, but it's very worthwhile. We can labour hard and still fail. But if when we allow the Lord to enter, when Jesus is a part of our life and we invite him to be part of our family and be Lord there, we're creating the opportunity for heaven to be in our home. We're creating the opportunity for life, for love, for laughter, and for miracles. It should be in our home. It should be part of our home. Yes, we face struggles. God never promised that we would just drift through life from going from one cloud to the next. The Bible's full of challenges. We're full. Our lives are full of challenges. Things go wrong. Cars break down. You know, stuff happens in the house. And it just is part of life. But don't give up. Let the Lord come in. We often think, well, we've got to solve this problem. Don't do that. Invite God to be a part of the situation. As soon as a problem arises, don't think, now how am I going to solve this? Who do I know can fix this? Say, Lord, you knew this was going to happen before I was born. And so I'm coming to you to get the divine answer to this. How can I fix this? How can we solve this problem? If kids going through a tough time, what do I say to them? How can I pray for them? Make God an absolute part of your life and part of your family, and you'll see the blessing of God. In verse 2, it says in the NLT, it is useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat, for God gives rest to his loved ones. It is useless for you to work so hard. What is God pointing out? We can lose our way by striving for provision, for more things, for money, for possessions, for a position. We want that position. We want to have a role there, and that'll make us feel good. Or prominence, that we forget the important things in life, like our family. I've shared with you before how a nurse wrote a book, and in that book she said, she talks about, she'd sat with so many dying people. She said, very often people die in the early hours of the morning, and I'd sat with them as they were dying. And she said, I never heard one person say, I should have worked harder. I should have made more money. I should have bought more things. She said, what they say is, I should have been more devoted to my family. I should have given myself to my children. I'm now estranged from my children. You understand what I'm saying? So at the point of death, when it's the most, in one sense, the most important time of your life, because you're reflecting. Nobody ever said, I should have worked harder to make more money. They say, I should have invested more in my family. So I'm putting that to you, that you don't do the wrong thing. Verse 2 says, God gives his beloved sleep. What affects our sleep? Well, worry, unresolved issues, fear, anxiety, depression, and other things. Obviously, there are things that affect our sleep that are not caused by us. Maybe it's too hot, it's too cold, it's too light, it's too dark, whatever it is. But the things that affect our sleep. But I'm saying to you, a healthy relationship with the Lord and spending time with him in prayer will give us a peace that makes our sleep sweet and refreshing. Verse 3, your Living Translation, children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. If we see children as coming from the Lord, we realize their special place in God's sight. We can love and care for them and raise them in the ways of the Lord. Remember Jesus, when the disciples wouldn't let the kids come to him. Now, it says children. We don't know what age they were, but let's say they were just like the kids up here today. They wanted to come over and see Jesus. And the disciples said, hey, he's busy. He's got a lot on his program today. We've got to be here, there, and somewhere else. We've got to go and heal all these people, and then we're going to, you know, sail away and catch some fish. He's just not available. And Jesus, the Bible says Jesus rebuked them. In other words, he snapped them up. He said, let the children come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. We see the importance of children. Often people see children as being those unnecessary little things over there. The ankle biters. The kids who make noise when you want them to be quiet. Kids always need attention. You always got to spend money on. Never get that attitude. Be determined that these kids will receive your love because you can convey to them. And dads, can I say this? Your kids need to see a dad who loves God. They need to see a dad who was there for them. They need to see a dad who sets an example that they can follow. I'm not talking about perfection. There's no such thing as perfection for humanity. Only Jesus is perfect, and him working in our lives will help in that regard. But But we'll never be. I'll never be perfect. And if that upsets you, I'm sorry. It's just the way it is. I will never be perfect, and neither will you. So let's get on with it. And let's say, all right, we're not perfect, but we're going to do the best we can with God's help. And so dads, do that. In verse 4, it says, children are born to a young man are like arrows in a warrior's hands. Or in New King James, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are children of one's youth. Arrows in the hand of a warrior. What is a warrior? A warrior is one who's gained experience. He's walked the distance. He's faced the enemy. He's faced his fears. He's had to be courageous. He's learned how to handle his weapons. And so he carries these arrows there with him as a part of his armor, if you like. And as fathers, we want to launch our children into a life with their best chance of success, both spiritually and naturally. So the warrior has the scars. He knows survival. And we talk about standing on the shoulders of giants, but let me just say this. Unless the father is a narcissist, in other words, very self-centered, I think every father wants their children to do better than they've done, to achieve better, to be better, to be better parents, to be better what they do in life. That's the heart of a father. The father doesn't say, I don't want any competition here. I don't want this boy to outdo me. I want to make sure I'm always ahead of him. You know, when it comes to the end of life, I want to win the race. Well, there's some fathers like that. But real fathers say, I've done my best, but I hope my boy does even better. Okay? And that's the attitude he has. With that attitude, he wants to help his son do better or help his daughter do better in life. Because if you don't have that attitude, if you have the other in, I want to be the winner, what are you going to do? Nothing. You're not going to help that kid. You're not going to relate to him. You're not going to teach him. You're not going to give him wisdom. You're not going to stand beside him. So have an attitude. I want my kids to do better. And that's what we're saying here, that the arrows are to be launched. And the arrows are our kids going forth, because it says they're like a quiver full. When you've got a quiver full of arrows, it's like children. And so the principle is there. And it says there that the quiver's full. When a quiver is full, it means no arrows have been fired. Or it means arrows have been recovered and put back into the quiver, the thing that holds the arrows. And so just because our children grow up doesn't mean that they leave the family. My understanding here is that the quiver is full because the arrows are not lost, or they've been regathered. So our family continues, and we grow with spouses and grandchildren, with our own children. That doesn't mean we're always their parent, but we don't tell them the same as we told them when they were younger. We're now in a different relationship, but there's still a relationship. Let's keep it a good relationship. Let's, just as children honour their parents, I think parents ought to honour their children in the way that they can. That doesn't mean promoting them, you're such a legend. You know, I can't believe people say, at kids 5 years of age, you're such a legend. I'm thinking, wow, what does it take to be a legend? Nothing, obviously. Don't do that. Don't speak language to them that's not appropriate. Encourage them in what they do. When they do something good, say, that was a good thing you did. When they do something bad, don't tell them they're bad. Say, that was not a good thing you did, but you can do better. In other words, don't reject them. Encourage them. Then the Bible in verse 5 says, confronts, how joyful is the man whose quiver is full of them. He will not be put to shame when he confronts his accusers at the city gates. Interesting that that's in there, isn't it? But let me just give you my take on that. The gate is an entry point. The gate is an entry point to a city, but the gate is an entry point to a family. And we're talking more than, you know, the physical front gate. We're talking the gate into the family, into the souls and the spiritual life in a home. And so here he is. This father is standing in the gap at the gate to attack the enemy when he comes. It says the accusers. Who's the accuser of the brethren? The Bible says it's Satan. So we stand for our children. We protect them in our home. We give them the love that's necessary, and we give them the correction that's necessary. But they let us stand in authority to bring that protection. We deal with the issues of the enemy that want to come into our home and against our children. I still pray for my daughter every day. She's been out of home for 9 years or so now, and I pray for my granddaughter, I pray for my son-in-law, I pray for you all too, not necessarily by name unless God gives me something specific to pray for you, because I think it's important. I stand in the gate. It's my role, and it's your role to stand in the gate of your home and protect your family. So stand up, men. Let's be men. You know, our fathers had to go to war. They had to face the enemy. First World War, Second World War, then Korea, then Vietnam, all of that sort of thing. But let's stand up and be men. Let's take up the arrows. Let's confront the accuser at the gate. Let's not let him into our home when we've got to try and dig him out. Let's stop him getting in so he can't have our children. We will not give up our children. We've got to have an attitude. The enemy shall not have them. We will stand and defend our children. And I'm encouraging particularly men this morning, because it's, you know, there's a, I don't want to say there's a warlike spirit in man, but we are made for that, made for protection. There's something that rises up in us. Somebody attacked your family physically, I am sure, no matter how mild-mannered you might appear, you will grab the axe and start defending your family with the axe if necessary. I've always felt that. I'm a Christian. I believe in doing the right thing. Somebody attacks my family, well, I shall lay hands on them suddenly, according to the principle of Scripture. Okay, men, let me give you an action plan this morning. Firstly, trust God. We're protectors and providers, but we cannot do it alone. We need God. We have to acknowledge it and practice it. God is our provision. He is our protector. The Bible says in the first part of it, unless the Lord builds a house, I labor in vain to build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. We need the Lord. We need the protection on our homes, and that's why we invite God to be a part of that. I pray over my home. I say, I thank you, Lord, you're here to bring protection to my home. I believe the angels of the Lord encamp around about those who fear him, camp around about my home, protect it from all evil. Then prayer, spending time with God. Let your kids see you praying. Even if it's not a long prayer, just a short time, let the kids see you reading the Bible. Let them see that that's a normal thing, not something you do because the pastor's coming to visit. Something you want to do and be involved in. So, and be believing. Speak positive words into your home, words of faith. Believe for, you know, the intervention of God in situations. Believe for healing. Believing for the blessing and the presence of God in your home. Is your home peaceful or full of words and fighting? You need to stand up and pray for your home. In this day and age, we're on a slippery slide in our society, in our world, in fact. There's a lot of things happening. We know there are laws now that were not in existence years ago, and they're not good laws. I don't know whether you saw the other day that in Texas, they're bringing in a law that abortion can't happen after 6 weeks. You know, in the first 6 weeks of conception, abortion can happen, but not after 6 weeks. Well, the uproar that's caused in that country is huge. Because people are saying you're taking away the rights of women and fighting it like crazy there. But abortion, call it what you like, is murder. It's the murder of an unborn child. So we face these things, and it's come into our society. What used to be illegal is now legal. Now they're talking about the voluntary assisted dying laws, which is another legalized form of murder. And I know that there are many stories about why it's a good thing, and we're not going to argue and debate that. I do believe that, you know, if we kill somebody, God says that's murder. And so, you know, we can't do it. That's the principle of Scripture. It's not about rights or wrongs here. It's about what God says. It's not what I believe. It's about what God says. Okay, moving on. Number three, spend time with your family. I'm going to confess something to you this morning. When I came to this church, I wanted to sow my life into it. Church had gone through a few issues over the years, one form or another. A number of pastors had come through. And so I just worked hard. as hard as I could. Long hours, trying to build the church, build people. And that went on for years. And, you know, that was a mistake because I didn't have anything when I got home. And you know, I was empty. I was burnt out. And then my daughter came along and, you know what, I didn't have the time to give her. When I got home, I had nothing to give. And so I apologize for that, darling. And I'm thankful you turned out great, even without that. But I'm trying to say to you guys, listen to me. Don't make my mistake. You don't have to be the richest man in the world. Your wife doesn't love you because of the money you make. And if she loves you because of the money you make, what sort of wife's that? She might honor you for the hard work you do. So get a work-life balance and be home. And when you're at home, be present there. My daughter used to say, can we play like a board game? And we'd sit down to do that, and honestly, my mind would just go boing and my head would just go clunk there because I'd had it. So that's not a good thing. So I really appreciate my wife and daughter for the support they've given me over the years, despite, you know, missing that area. And I'm just confessing that before you guys. Don't do that. Don't do that. Be there for your family. Be there for your kids. Better to live in a humble house and drive old cars and spend your time with your children than to have all of the possessions in life. And I'm talking to you young couples who perhaps haven't had children. Get over having possessions. Get second-hand furniture if need be. Don't chase the best. The best is a family. It is not possessions. Okay? Let it happen. Then thank God for your family. Family's not perfect, but you've been given the privilege to be a part of that family. It's a responsibility and not a right. It is a blessing if you will accept it from God. And so I thank God for family. I thank God for my family. And I thank God this morning for fathers. God bless you, fathers. We love you. But let's talk about the church for a moment. What about the church as a family? Being a part of, we took in members this morning, and that's a sort of a formal introduction to being a member in the church. But what does it involve, I believe, being a part of the church as a family? Do you know, you'll only give it as much out of something as you put into it. If you don't put anything in, you won't get anything out. And what you take is really selfish in that regard. So I'm saying be loving, be caring, be giving of yourself to others, be encouraging, be involved. In any family, home or church, you have to participate. You cannot just be a consumer because it is selfish and ultimately it will be self-defeating. So this morning, be involved, be present, be a real Christian, give of yourself, and I express love to you all today as the father of the house. God bless you. So, on Father's Day and Mother's Day, we do something special. Jack, do we have a song today? We do. Okay, let's do that now. So those who are doing the item for us, would you come? So this is what we're going to do. You know the song, The Blessing? Well, we're going to sing it to you in foreign languages. Afrikaans, Malaysian, Samoan, and who knows, we might even get English in there. Have we got Samoan? Samoan, okay. Oh, where's the Samoan? Come on up, man. Come on up. So we just want to bless you, but particularly fathers. Would you receive the blessing today? You might not understand the words, but catch the spirit of it, because we're imparting something to you. What do you need?